The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is a world you never understand, and you always fear. But you don't understand.
Because I'm a genius.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who the hell are you people?
It's getting weird!
And here we go.
It's the Riffs and Rants podcast with your host, Johnny Teflon.
All I know is this violates every canon of respectable broadcasting.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Establishment. And we'll be right back after the first gem of the day. That's a good way to start, huh? Nothing like a good old tune from AC/DC. And you know what? If you go back through all the 175 episodes of the Riffs and Rants podcast, both when I was doing with Michael Sean Lee and now by myself, we've let off a lot of shows, I think, with AC/DC tunes because they're, I mean, for a rock band, they're like very call to action type tune. That's why you see it in a lot of soundtracks. Makes you want to get up and do something, right? Which really is the point of this whole podcast anyway. Talking about things that, well, in most cases, I think are important. And we need to gather around the proverbial water cooler and chit-chat. So, yeah, we started off today's episode with a tune by the Rockers from Down Under. It's called Flick of the Switch, and that's off of the album of the same name from 1983. Woo! Not one of their top 10 tunes, but still a strong tune, and very apropos for what we're going to kick off talking. I tell you, I'm flying solo this week. I'm giving the boys a break, which a lot of you would automatically assume, uh-oh, that means Johnny's going to talk about shit that he's angry about. And I would say, well, no, not necessarily. Especially this episode, because there's two things that we're going to cover that I do feel very strongly about. But the first one, the main topic, as we call it, is really just about some neato shit. Now, as you all know, AI, artificial intelligence, is all the rage now, okay? It's kind of dominating, well, with the exception of the upcoming presidential election, it's kind of dominating the news as far as what's going on in this country, and everybody's, you know, going the whole sci-fi route, saying, oh, well, it's going to lead to the robots becoming our overlords, and they're going to see human beings as a hassle and an impediment to, you know, getting things done. I mean, not that we're not, you know, especially those of us living in a democracy, because you got, you know, 50,000 people all wanting 50,000 different things. But I'm thinking to myself, it's just another computer routine, and computers can only do what you teach them to do. So, in other words, it's kind of scary that a lot of these chat GBTs and whatnot are kind of learning stuff and learning how to communicate and, I guess, to a point, problem solve by just scouring the internet.
Thank God for them internets.
For information. And, of course, as Abraham Lincoln once said, you can't believe everything you read on the internet. So here we are arming ourselves with these, you know, sentient beings, and we're acting, in effect, as really bad parents, because you got the baby in the crib, and we're just turning in a Barney VHS tape on loop for 10 years and just walking away. So it's scary when you let these things learn on their own, but, you know, this is the state of science these days. It always goes back to the case of, you know, just because you can, doesn't really mean you should. I don't know. But you could look it at from another direction. And this is how I'm choosing to see it. You do take care of the learning process for the AI. And in terms of science, you know, true science is all about trial and error, controlled experiments, and documenting the evidence until you come upon a viable solution through whatever combination of either chemical processes or different protocols that are proven to work. And when you add them all together, you get to the finish line a lot quicker, whatever, what have you. But if you were to have this single-minded artificial intelligence bot, let's say, have the sole purpose of curing cancer by running through every plausible scenario, mapping DNA, working within all of the different parts and biochemistry-related solutions. I mean, on and on. If you made it the sole mission of this bot to solve this, and you let that sucker run at light speed for a year, as sure as I'm sitting here, I'm telling you, they'll find a cure for cancer. Now, you could go the conspiracy theorist route and say, well, gee, John, there's so much money to be made in the treatment. Will we ever get a cure? Not just to cancer, but to so many other things. And I don't have an answer for you, folks. I'm just a pawn like the rest of you. But, yeah, I choose to be glass half full when it comes to this, because I'm relying on the better angels of our nature, as they say, even in the world of science. Hopefully we'll get the scientists with a soul, that elusive unicorn. They must still be out there.
You know, I don't mean to embarrass you, but I'm a rather brilliant surgeon. Perhaps I could help you with that hump.
What hump?
But looking at things from a different standpoint, oftentimes throughout human history, the biggest advances come during wartime or during peacetime, just as a part of an arms race, are just looking to find, you know, bigger and better and more convenient and economical ways to kill each other.
Message!
So, right now, it's no surprise to anyone that we're seeing massive, massive strides being made as far as military applications for artificial intelligence. And I'm not naive enough to think that it's just us. I'm sure, you know, Russia, China, North Korea, and perhaps some of our allies, Great Britain, France, are working diligently to harness the power of artificial intelligence again to think about a million things at once at a much faster rate than a human being possibly could. So, in the meantime, we're just gently applying it to existing technology. This seems to be where the focus is. So, there are three things that I came across in the past week or so that really piqued my interest. I mean, really brought out the little kid in me. And being a child of a military family, I'm always prone to be somewhat interested in what's going on in the world as it pertains to military strength and preparedness and so on and so forth.
I'm a nerd.
So the first thing that I came across that I shared with some friends and admitted that it could quite possibly be the coolest thing I've ever seen. It's called the Manta Ray UUC, and that stands for Uncrewed Underwater Vehicle. Okay. I don't know if you folks have seen this, but if you look up the Manta Ray UUC, it will come up. It is essentially an unmanned underwater drone. Now, we see drones flying around all the times. We see them being used in war right now in Ukraine, as well as Iran sending them over to down Israel way, right? But we see that they look like small planes, and then in the case of, you know, the drone hobbyists, they're these little things that a strong wind comes, it knocks it off course. But they do take great, you know, pictures of a family barbecue. But no, this is a large, okay, easily about the size of a 40-foot boat, kind of. And it almost looks like a manta ray. But the coolest thing about this is not only can you arm this thing with different payloads, and is it not only versatile for many different things, it could be espionage, spying, outright attacking surface vessels or underwater vehicles, but it could sit at the bottom of the ocean until called upon. Now, I'm sorry. Ding, ding, ding. Yep, there you go. That, to me, is the coolest concept, because it's never the weapons and stuff that you see coming. It's the things that you don't see coming, right? So everybody's going about their business, you know, playing Hunt for Red October, yada, yada. Meanwhile, this manta ray could just be sitting, say, at the bottom of the Red Sea, for sake of argument. And let's say Iran starts to act a fool again using their little proxy toadies, the Houthi rebels or whoever it is this week, right? And we just put this little guy in action. Oh, or it could be Somali pirates trying to take over a internationally flagged oil tanker. And then this thing comes up and says, hello. I'm sorry. It's just so cool. The next snippet was, and this one I was really impressed when I heard, they just recently had the Air Force equip, I think it was an F-16, with full AI controls, and set it up and had it go through the paces and do some simulated dogfighting. And it performed quite well. Now, that in and of itself was amazing. But there was a pilot on board in case, you know, God forbid something went wrong. They had the rest of control away from the software, you know, because these things always have bugs in them. That was impressive. Just going up there, letting it fly around, do its thing, and target some stuff. And then we doubled down. We sent up Air Force Secretary Frank Kendall up there in a plane by himself. And this thing, once again, went through the paces. engaged in dogfight maneuvers, had this guy pushing several G's. And at the end of it, not only was he just impressed overall with how this thing handled itself and the fact that it could go toe-to-toe with a human pilot, but the secretary, and I'll quote, is confident enough in the AI system to arm them for combat. Wow, that's not something you would readily say, okay? And then furthermore, they're saying the Air Force is aiming, get this, for a 1,000 AI warplane force by 2028. That's only 4 years away. The future is now, people, and it's coming at us. And then the last one, which is so insanely baltastic, I just made up a new word there, that it's almost comical. We've seen now for a couple years the robot dogs, basically, is what they are. Doesn't have a head, but other than that, it looks like a dog. And, you know, when they first came out with this thing, it had like a lawnmower engine, and that's what it sounded like, too, like a bad scooter or something coming at you. But these dog-looking robots could run.
Like a dog.
And that was kind of scary because we're like, oh, my God, look at this thing. It could, like, run and then, I don't know, jump on you, knock you over, whatever.
Like a dog.
Then they fine-tuned it so that if you knocked it over, it could get up on its own. And we thought that was a new level of cool heretofore unheard of and unimagined.
Brilliant!
Then they taught it to walk up stairs. Okay, now we're getting a little creepy.
Excellent.
Not just climb stairs, but if there's a door with a knob at the top of the stairs, yup, this thing could turn the knob, open the door, and go in. Now, yes, there are some bipedal robots that can do that, but they're still rather slow and clunky, at least the ones they've let us see. But this dog robot, he's yeah, I mean, he probably catches a frisbee, too. So if all of that wasn't enough, somebody came up with the idea to strap a flamethrower to its back.
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
And thus, it's become known as the Therminator. It's a robotic dog with a flamethrower strapped to it. And here's the best part, folks. It sells for only $10,000, just in time for holiday shopping. It's legal in 48 states, which, yeah, I want to know which two it's not legal in. But, I mean, if I was Israel, I'd be buying these things up. I'd be cornering the market and teaching them to run through tunnels. I'm just saying. I know, getting a little dark here. Just saying. But, I mean, come on. We don't have flying cars yet, although that prototype has already lifted off. And we don't have teleportation, and we don't really have functional jetpacks that, you know, John and Jane Q Public can use. But, my friends, we have robotic dogs with flamethrowers strapped to their back. So we're getting there. Oh, boy. Look, my point is this. Get on board. You know, and we can't keep treating AI as this science fictional pariah. Granted, you be careful, be responsible, but it looks like the fact that has won the argument of should we slow down, should we pause, the fact that's won the argument in favor of full steam ahead is the simple truth that if we don't dominate the world of artificial intelligence, those countries whose interests run opposed to us will. It's a very simple fact. Same reason we had to go to the moon. Because if we didn't do it, Russia was going to do it and be able to point the weapons down on us, right? If we didn't develop nuclear submarines, again, Russia was going to do it and be able to park these things all over the globe without coming up for air for 6 months to a year at a time. This is fact. If we didn't engage in building these mini cities called aircraft carriers that can hold an entire air wing on them, right, and enforce our interests around the globe, somebody else would have done it. And you can see in all these examples, everybody who came second still sucks.
If you ain't first, you're last.
No one else has been to the moon, far as we know, with a manned flight. Granted, Russia did kind of get their shit together when it came to nuclear submarines, but it seems as though they've kind of plateaued. Aircraft carriers? Please. China's got, what, two, and one of them is one they took off the scrap heap from the Russians. So that's not putting the fear of God in anybody. But my point is, yeah, you're like Ricky Bobby said,
if you ain't first, you're last.
Exactly. If you're not first, you're last. So let's just do it. Let's do it like Americans.
That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it. And it's worked out pretty well so far.
And again, just like Cadillacs, which tend to follow the stylings of military aircraft for their particular period that they're in action, like every 10 years. Yeah, take a look at it. It's true. You know, a lot of these things that initially had military or paramilitary uses, they will eventually trickle into the mainstream commercial world because there's money to be made. All right? Look, Velcro was a NASA invention. Simple as that. Okay? We'll get there, but we just got to be a little careful. And just, you know what, everybody? Keep asking questions. That's always the surest way to keep an eye on Big Brother. And I'm not talking protesting, burning shit in the streets, none of that. Besides, I can't do that anyway. I work for a living. But just, you know, ask the questions. Put the people in office in these elections that look like they have a handle on this technology. They don't need to know how to field strip a Terminator, okay? But you keep putting 80-year-olds in the office, yeah, that's not the key to really harness technology and push this country forward. Blah, blah, blah. Ageism, that's a story for another day. Why don't we hit, right off the bat, the middle gem, and we're going to shift gears because this middle gem is going to be all about the subtopic that we're going to get to. This is a little tune by Mr. Alice Cooper, and it's called Hey Stupid. So I'm going to play this for you, and we'll be back in a few minutes with some more things and stuff.
Hey, stupid, what you trying to do?
Nice tune. Thank you, Alice. And we're back. Hey, if you ever get a chance, I think it's still out in syndication. Alice Cooper's radio program, Alice Cooper Nights. It was on, I guess I heard it within the last couple of years, but it was really well done. It's not as good as Little Steven's Underground Garage, but it's kind of close. So I wonder if Sirius picked that up. But anyway, if you ever get a chance, tune into that. That's the tune, yeah, Hey Stupid, off of the album by the same name back in 1991. And yes, of course, there's an agenda here. And this subtopic I kind of wanted to talk about, well, as much as the main topic, because this thing kind of hit the airwaves about a week ago and has blown up, and it's got people all riled up on both sides of the fence. And that's the kind of conversations I like to have. And I don't know, maybe I'm channeling my inner Michael Sean Lee on this one, but I'm kind of, from the jump, seeing this from both sides of the aisle, let's call it, both conservative and liberal, Republican, Democrat, and it could just be much ado about nothing, I don't know, so let's discuss it.
Stupid, a person below normal intelligence.
So here we are at a graduation ceremony, and the keynote speaker is the kicker from the Kansas City Chiefs, one Harrison Butker. And he gets points for an amazing last name. So he's giving this commencement speech, and in it, he talks about the life choices that, you know, both he and primarily his wife have made, and how it's been so enriching for both of them that she chose the path to be a homemaker. And he then goes on to extol the virtues of just being a wife and a homemaker. And he's saying this to a graduating college class, which I'm assuming is at least 50% female. All right. So initially, my thought is, wow, like, way to not be able to read the room. You don't want to give a speech to a bunch of kids that, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, busted their ass to get their degree so they have more options in life and or make their families proud and so on and so forth. You don't give them a speech saying, oh, and by the way, should the last 4 years of your life be for naught, you can always go and be a housewife. And you might like that even more. In fact, maybe some of you should just bail on this and go be a housewife. That's not what he said verbatim, but that's how it was coming across. But yet, as he's saying this, there is a sincerity involved, and he gets choked up towards the end, as he says that he wouldn't be the man or the husband that he is without the sacrifices made by his wife. So you see, there's a sweet sentiment involved there that was one of the things that got completely glossed over, really from both sides, in the retelling of this and the videos and everybody's opinion piece, op-ed, that they did on it. And what one side chose to say is how backwards his thought process is, or that, you know, how dare he try and push these Neanderthal lifestyle choices on these young up-and-coming, you know, kids, basically. You know, who is he? What right does he have? Yada, yada, yada. Then he's kind of backing it up and hanging his hat on, well, you know, this is how Catholics think. And then there was even a group of nuns, I believe, from the school that he spoke at that were saying, no, we don't agree with this at all. He doesn't speak for us. And it just blew up into this big kerfluffle of nonsense, okay? Because it seems like nowadays people can't have an opinion, right? And when I was growing up, the conservatives were always the ones that would someday supposedly turn into Big Brother, and, you know, we'd live under a totalitarian regime, and, you know, books would be banned, and you know, fun would be outlawed. And it's like, well, no. Nowadays, what happened is that came from the left. Yeah, you're welcome, Mr. Orwell. or Mr. Serling. I don't know what it is. Some days I do feel like I'm still living in an episode of The Twilight Zone. But the guy just gave an opinion, okay? And that this ratcheted up all the way to his teammates having to weigh in. And, you know, that's the other part of this whole thing that we see time and time again. It then becomes, well, if you don't have an opinion on it, then you're a piece of shit too. Because you're not taking a stand. You know what? We're free to say whatever we want to say. Last time I read the Constitution. And nowhere in there does it say that we have to take a stand on anything. Right? Especially when you not taking a stand isn't really, you know, a life or death decision. This isn't something thrown at the feet of King Solomon. He's got his views on what type of lifestyle works for him and his family. The people in the audience can just take this, you know, because I'd like to think that one of the reasons we still send young people to college is to broaden their horizons and perhaps educate them and teach them the skill, because that's what it is. It's a skill to listen to others rationally and through pragmatism, either agree or disagree, and know that at the end of the day, that's fine. That should be a skill. That should be a class. Not being a jackass 101. Let's call it that, right?
Message!
And never has it been more apparent than in the recent spate of protests at all the Ivy League schools. And I won't even get into the right or the wrong of the stance they're taking, because you can't fix stupid. But I will get into the fact that they say the cornerstone of a successful civilization is the education of its children. And if they don't say that, well, then I'm saying it. And then furthermore, like I said, down the road, you send these kids to college to learn in depth the arts, the sciences, free and independent thinking, the ability to think outside the box, okay? To come up with solutions and levels of understanding because of everything they're learning in books, and because of the myriad of individuals that visit the campus to give speeches and lectures, okay?
I wonder, would that work?
And God forbid, going to the good places on the internet to learn stuff, you know? Or, oh, heaven forbid, going to the library and actually cracking open a book, all right? This is what higher learning is all about. It's about higher understanding. And in my opinion, because I get one just like you guys do, every single one of these Ivy League universities, regardless of how they handled these protests and the takeovers of the Quad and whatnot, they all failed. Yes, on Johnny's report card, every single one of them failed. I don't care if it's Yale, Harvard, Columbia, any of them. They all failed because they failed these children in teaching them the skill of understanding.
A good teacher, he really seems to care about what I have no idea.
You don't need to be a communications major with a PhD in communications, upward and onward, to be able to listen to somebody, form your own opinion, and act accordingly. With full realization that, yes, we're a society governed by laws, all right? And this is why we vote. This is why we have the political system that we do. You don't go running around burning shit, breaking in, and saying, I'm going to occupy this building now. I don't care what your cause is. There's that phrase, you know, the wrong execution of the right idea. Well, yeah, maybe that's it. But maybe it was a really wrong execution of the right idea. And yes, with all these things, there's that element of, you know, the boogeyman known as, quote, outside agitators. Well, they've been saying that forever. They were saying that in the 60s when these kids were protesting nuclear arms, okay? But in comparison to how the kids are acting these days, and then you listen to them and they can't even explain, like, what their viewpoint. They're morons. Again, because these schools have failed them, okay? And maybe if you want to dig a little bit deeper, maybe half these kids don't belong in those schools.
morons.
Maybe they don't. Maybe they got there because they got good grades and good SATs, but you know what? From elementary up through high school, they didn't learn shit. They're like professional students. Trust me, I knew a few. I've been through all of my schooling and 8 years of college, all right? Let's just leave it at that. I saw them. They're professional students. They go through. They go through the motions. They turn in. They get good grades. Yay! Try running into one of these assholes at a cocktail party. You'll be asleep in 5 minutes. They got nothing to talk about. They can't articulate. And they just don't get it.
I mean, you're one screwed up little kid. Do you understand?
So again, over to Mr. Butker. I don't vilify the man for his views. Me personally, I see the merits of both. And look, we gotta propagate the species. And look, children develop better with one or both parents within close proximity. And they need to be a part of that child's life, okay? Yes, it's super difficult, but I have a lot of friends who were professionals that raised wonderful children. Especially, you know, from my hometown, that the people I grew up with did an extraordinary job, both the married couples and those divorced. And I know a lot of single moms that have raised outstanding kids. And you know what? Went back to school, got their advanced degrees to provide better for them and their children. And it wasn't easy, but they sucked it up and they did it. So I don't snicker when somebody says being a mother is the hardest job in the world. I don't snicker. I couldn't do it, right? On the same hand, I've got a lot of respect for the dinks out there, the dual income, no kid couples, right? Or people like myself who, through happenstance or maybe fate or maybe a blessing, didn't get married, have no kids. So that's also part of the reason why I can't, in all good conscience, sit here and pass judgment, because I don't know. But I do know that everybody should have a choice. And I also do know that in this case, there's no wrong choice there. You know, and some people, look, they raise their kids and then they decide they want to go back and have a completely different career. There's nothing wrong with that either. So I think the only sin, if you want to call it that, that Mr. Butker committed was not reading the room. All right, that could have been a great speech for church. It could have been a great speech for people of similar opinion, like a TED Talk for them or a rally of some kind. Not at graduating class trying to sell them a bill of goods. It's almost as if, all right, look at it this way. You were to have a military recruiter address a random college graduating class.
Mobile infantry made me the man I am today.
Now, there's a lot of great, great things about our armed forces and what you can learn and how you can expand. You can see the world, you name it. And it's a very important position, every single branch. But there's something unseemly about going to a school, and not a military academy, mind you, a regular either state school or a private institution, and getting up there and trying to sell someone a lifestyle. See, so that's what I'm saying. You can't try and sell people a lifestyle. It doesn't work. And if any of those social debates we've got in this country, whether it be anything from the LGBTQ community or abortion, you can't tell people how to live, right? Because they're going to do it either way. So when faced with that, the pragmatist in me says, well, you know what? Don't tell people how to live. Be supportive. As long as nobody's getting hurt, right? Running around hurting each other. Yeah. You got one life. Live it. Be happy. That's it. That's the bottom line. And if people had come at this initial thing with that, instead of the competing mass media outlets trying to get everybody all riled up, right? Because that's all they do.
This is CNN.
And sell catheters. That's all they had to do. So, yeah, this guy gets up there and blah, blah, blah. You know, the school that picked him to get up there and speak had to know something like this was coming. I mean, to get an active athlete, a kicker. I mean, for your commencement speaker. I mean, oof. I don't know. I just, yeah, they just should have did a little better than that. Maybe keep it to academics, unless, you know, you've got the best field goal kicking curriculum in the country. I don't know. What is this, like a Division III school too, no less? Whatever. I'm just saying, read the room, folks. Read the room and live and let live. That's the bottom line. So, because I want to have fun on this episode, see, it's not been all like dour. The third gem is a little ditty, and I'll warn you ahead of time, this is NSFW. One of my favorite little artists who sadly has kind of stopped doing music because she too became a mom. And I can't stand her husband because he's very political. But this is a little tune from Lily Allen, and let's just say it's called F.U. But listen to it because it kind of says a whole lot of stuff. So let me play this for you, and we'll be back in a few minutes with some more things and stuff. And, of course, a wrap-up. Stay tuned.
Look inside your tiny mind, then look a bit harder, 'cause we're so uninspired, so sick and tired of all the hatred you harbor. So you say it's not okay to be gay. Well, I think you're just evil. You're just some racist who can't tie my laces. Your point of view is medieval.
Time.
Yeah, that's a fun tune. Fun tune. Love me some Lily Allen. I mean, some of her early stuff, like the song Smile, especially when you watch the video, it's just, she's such a badass little bitch. And I love her other song, LDN, you know, just talking about London, and it's kind of like, look a little closer and you see all the dirt and the grime, but it's still like a lovely place anyway. Just good, really talented. So, like I was saying, just playfully jesting, I don't care for her husband, Mr. David Harbour, you know, the guy from Stranger Things that then went on to ruin Hellboy and all that stuff, and he was that horrible Santa Claus movie. I just don't like him. To me, he's up there with, like, Alec Baldwin, that Strunz. Anyway, yeah, so Lily Allen. And that's really just going out to people who are just intolerant of things and always have a problem with whatever you say and you do. It's just like, F you, you know, move along, shove off. All right, so that's what's up with that. Now, these days, a couple things to do in the close. You know, don't forget, folks, we're on, it feels silly saying X. You know, those of you that still remember it as Twitter. We don't do a lot on Twitter, meaning us as, you know, Big Boom Radio, but we always post when there's a new episode of this podcast up. And from time to time, we'll throw a quickie little opinion of something up there. But friend us. Why not? I love hearing from everybody. This week, I got some great input about the last episode that I had done with Andy and John. One of our longtime listeners said they really enjoyed the banter. Okay, well, I'll take that for what it's worth. Honestly, there's some things about the threesome pairing there that works. There are some things that don't work. There's some things that just need a little work done on them. And for anybody out there who's ever done a podcast, it's not easy, you know? And even finding your voice or your niche or whatever you want to call it, it's a process. And building an audience is a process. And people get used to one thing. And if they keep tuning back for that one thing, just like any form of entertainment, it's what they like. And when you change it, then it's like, you know, it's like being at a concert and you're ready to do some of your hits off the new album. And everybody's like, no, play the old stuff. It's like that. And again, I'm sorry, folks, but it's never going to be the same as it was when I was doing this with Michael Sean Lee before his untimely passing. It's not going to be like that. We had a natural rapport. We just, you know, believed in different things. And yet we were friends and we could talk about the stuff without hitting each other over the head with a chair. That's very difficult to find, you know. And if anything, it's probably one of the reasons why we need a podcast like this one without an agenda, okay? Yeah, I know I'm conservative and I'm a little heavy-handed with things. But generally, even when I'm flying solo like today, I try and bring both sides of the issue to bear and just get people talking. You know, I firmly believe that it's very difficult to hate somebody once you know them. And it's a lot easier to understand a viewpoint when you then hear it from that person who's living and breathing and right in front of you, rather than just some unnamed boogeyman that the newscaster throws at you with this, well, look at what's going on here, next they're coming for you, panic, harumph, and that old tired chestnut. So, join us, if you will, on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. I'm working on an Instagram page. You know, just shoring up the whole brand. You know, look, Big Boom Radio has now been around for how long have I been doing this? 6 years, 7 years? And people listen all over the world, just like they do to this podcast. I can't just stop. I'm hooked. A lot of people listen to the Rockabilly Rumble Sunday nights at 7. Shameless plug. That's easily our most listened to show. I can't just stop doing it. People are looking forward to that. I look forward to doing it. So just keep tuning in. That's all I ask. Don't forget, we have Facebook pages for all this stuff. Big Boom Radio has a Facebook page. Riffs, letter N, Rants. Yeah, Riffs and Rants. They've got a page. The Rockabilly Rumble, that's got a page on Facebook. Like them all. Listen to what's going on. And, of course, always tune in to BigBoomRadio.com. Because really, like the tagline says, it is rock and roll heaven 24/7. And there's always something going on. Completely free. So whether you listen to it on the website directly, which most people do, or if you use our app, Live 365, totally free. You can put it on your phone. You can plug it into your CarPlay or the Android app for the car, and you can just drive along like I do and listen to it. Because sadly, a lot of times, stuff that's out there, it's kind of repetitive. It's the same old shit, and it's pretty sad that just little old me and my little old radio station has a larger catalog of classic rock than just about every other station out there. I'm not even kidding, folks. Listen for a couple days at different times. You'll see what I mean. So until then, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for letting me get an earworm in your ear. Maybe have you start talking and thinking about things you weren't talking and thinking about before, all right? So until next time, I am Johnny Teflon, and I'll see you on the flip side.
Pain or damage don't end the world, or despair, or fucking beatings. The world ends when you're dead. Until then, you got more punishment in store. Stand it like a man and give some back.